Well, let's go to that Johnson Auto Plaza VIP line and talk to Antoine Burton, Executive Director of PBR Sports Performance Center. Antoine, it's Nick and Cecil on the Fan. How's it going tonight, man?
How are you guys doing?
Doing great, man. And we're talking about competition. Now, you come into the league undrafted, just like Nick, right? What is it about that hunger, that drive, that desire that, one, gets you to the league, and then once you're there, staying in the league like you and Nick did?
It really honestly comes down to perseverance, understanding the magnitude of the platform that you're on, being in the NFL, understanding that you're going to have to overcome a few obstacles, understanding that you might have a 4 or a 3 next to your name going into camp, and you're going to have to beat out some guys that were drafted and or starters or people who got paid. So to have that resiliency and, you know, mental toughness is something that you got to kind of carry with you every day, because I tell people all the time, I went into most of my career literally every day, not necessarily fearing that I would get cut, but I knew I was very kind of high on that chopping block if things were to go awry.
Well, you know, we all have very memorable moments in our career. And I don't know if this is a memorable moment for you, but I go back to Monday night game against the Green Bay Packers, and Brett Favre was their quarterback. And if I'm not mistaken, I think both you and Champ Bailey were on the play where you sack, you know, Brett Favre. Now, when you think about your career, is that one of the highest kind of plays that you've been on because it was a guy like Brett Favre, or do you have another one that you want to talk to us about?
For me, having a memorable play, you know, and I'm not trying to kill the question. I literally was kind of in my own lane and trying to literally keep my job. So for me, you know, I understood I was playing at the highest level, and that's how I went about my business. And any opportunity that I could get to either get on the field, stay active, stay on a team, you know, that as a whole for me was memorable, truth be told. But I did think it was pretty cool. Honestly, memorable moments for me was just, you know, I came into the league and I was on a team with Al Wilson, DJ Williams, yourself, Champ Bailey, John Lynch, Mike Shanahan, that draft class, Jay Cutler, Tony Scheffler, Brandon Marshall, Elvis Dumervil, Dominic Hickson. I got a very, even Rich Tootin as our strength and conditioning coach, just that experience and what I was able to kind of sponge in and learn as a rookie my first year, it really was priceless. Again, the magnitude of the education, the knowledge, and, you know, Hall of Famers, Rod Smith, and it was just that to me, when I look back on my career, I thought that was pretty awesome, because I really did truly learn a lot. And all of those guys that I named were elite, high character people, elite athletes, and elite NFL players. So for me, that was really the most memorable. But it was cool, you know, to be able to get a sack on Brett Favre. But as you know, Nick, we lost that game, and I do remember that, and I do tell that story when I want to say James Jones, I want to say beat Dre Bly.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right.
And when I say, and I tell this story, when I say Brett Favre damn near threw that ball to the moon, I've never seen a ball go that high and far in my life, it seemed like. And to lose a game like that was pretty rough.
That was a rainbow throw. I remember that play. Even Jeff Blake thought that was a rainbow throw. It's Antoine Burton. These are the football jokes. Antoine Burton joining us here on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline. Nick and Cecil on the Fan. And the game is won and lost in the trenches. Has that even changed more now as defensive line, offensive line play becomes so much more important because of the mobile quarterback? Edge pressure is edge pressure, right? It's always going to be there. But middle pressure, guys who can get after the quarterback from the middle of the defensive line, that makes every quarterback look mortal. We saw it in the Super Bowl. Has the defensive line play changed or been heightened now because of the mobile quarterback?
I think it has evolved a little bit. You know, early 2000s, 90s, you had a bigger nose tackle. You still had athletic three techniques, but at this point in the league, everybody has to be able to get to the quarterback. The D-line, they're a little faster. They're a little leaner. They're a little quicker. And, you know, things are a little different now to where, you know, when I was coming up, we didn't have all of these camps and trainers and specific training. So a lot of these guys are training different. They're eating different. And the game honestly just has evolved. And just like you said, we got guys like Kyler Murray who can run a 4.3. They say he's Vic, but in my opinion, I don't think he's Vic. But anyway, you have to still – the game still remains the same where you have to be able to stay in your pass rush lanes. You can't get out of pocket too much on the edge. And, you know, outside of the – you know, the evolution of the game, the evolution of the athlete, it's pretty much the same. But like I said, guys are a little bit more faster, a little bit more leaner, and you know, not to knock anybody who's played before now, but it's a little faster.
Well, let's stick right there and talk about evolution, because you kind of gone through evolution yourself, gone from a guy who has played the game to a guy who's now training guys aspiring to get to the NFL. So I want you to break that down for our audience. Tell them about what it is that you're doing and where they can come and check you out.
So currently I'm doing an NFL draft prep. I've been doing it since 2015. I actually started with one of our teammates, Brandon Marshall at FitSpeed, who is now House of Athletes. And, you know, I currently live in Pueblo, Colorado. And 2016, I started my own NFL draft prep here, and it's evolved. And like you said, and how you started, I'm the executive director at the PBR Sport Performance Center. It's a new facility, $13 million, 18,000 square feet. And they actually bought me out in my next level performance and hired me as the executive director. And one of those things that I brought over with me was that NFL draft prep. And for me, to be able to be a part of a young athlete matriculating to the next level, and like you said, Nick, being an undrafted free agent, you see things differently. So for me, you know, it really is awesome to help with not only the performance side, the strength side, but the mental aspect and what it takes to be a professional. Not make your foot in the door, but to have a career, understand what it's like to make money, understand what it's like about fame, understand what it's about constructive criticism, understanding what it is to be a professional, understanding the pitfalls as you go into this league. So for me, this year, you know, due to COVID, we only have 5 athletes. Last year we had 10. Last year we had, I want to say 3 guys make it, 2 to Arizona and 1 to the Jets. This year we got, you know, a great linebacker from University of Buffalo, Tyree Thompson, played in the Hula Bowl. Corey Taylor, running back from out of Tulsa. This kid's going to light up the track. He'll be in the 4-4 range from Tulsa again and played at the Hula Bowl. We got Deshaun Jones. O-lineman, San Diego State. We got this kid, Xavier Kelly, D-tackle from Arkansas. He's an amazing kid, He's strong. He put up 30 reps 2 weeks ago, 6'4", 305, ran a 5.03. So for me, just being a part of that process, for me, is, you know, honestly, I'm living my passion and, you know, just trying to make a significant impact and these young athletes' lives, again, as they matriculate on to the next level.
It's Antoine Burton joining us, Nick and Cecil, here on The Fan. He's the executive director of PBR Sports Performance Center. Antoine, we talk to a lot of former players, and one thing is a common thread, It's that Nick might have gone a little too hard in practice. Maybe a little. I mean, what'd you break Tatum's? You broke Tatum's wrist, right? Tatum Bell's
His
wrist.
His finger, man.
His finger. His he finger. Broke Tatum Bell's finger. Tatum comes on the show. He talks about it. Your memories of one Nick Ferguson. I need some ammo for my brother here that I can use against him every night.
So now listen, that's a loaded question now. And I can't, you know, not tell the truth, but this is honest truth. I really looked up to Nick. I thought that I knew he was an undrafted free agent and he had a chip on his shoulder and he was starting. And for someone like myself that was kind of coming up and trying to crack that lineup, to look to someone like Nick, that he was going to be the smartest in the room. He was never overshadowed by Chan Bailey, by Dre Bly, by John Lynch. He held his own, but never kind of allowed outside things. He was a very locked in individual, and his intensity was at such a level that, you know, you couldn't help but to admire it. Now listen, He might have been a little sensitive, you know, might have gotten a few arguments here or there.
I can see that. And, yeah.
And I understand why he's on radio. He's a very opinionated person for sure. But who he was as an athlete, who he has was a player, who he has was a person. He was extremely high character, you know, and he was a hard hitter. He understood the defense, and he held himself to a certain standard at all times, and it never dropped. And you knew he was locked in to every practice, every game. And he was that's why he had such a long career. So I don't know if I gave you ammo, but that's what I got.
Well, Twan, I don't think that what Cesar was looking for. He wanted you to tell him that there was an incident where I might have hurt you or someone else. That's what Cesar was looking for. But here's what I want to you to mention before we let you go here. There's something unique that you do with your training that is quite familiar with something Cesar used to do when he lived on those dirt roads he's always talking about. Really quickly, tell us about some of the bull riders that you train.
So, you know, this is crazy. So when you think about, you know, a former, you know, 300-pound black defensive tackle that plays in the NFL, it doesn't really, you know, line up with the Western realm or Western sports. But I was plucked from obscurity, but I'm a little more, you know, glove fit for this particular realm more than what people think. And it's a pretty cool deal, man. I'm ushering the narrative of Western sports performance, the narrative of riders being looked at as athletes. The PBR, it's a global international company, PBR Brazil, PBR Australia, Mexico, Canada, United States. You know, we got contracts with CBS, the company that we're under their umbrella is Endeavor, which, you know, owns IMG Academy, where we're sister companies with the UFC. So, you know, this Western sports and riding is way bigger than I ever really imagined. And to be able to, you know, be in a position to create, you know, I create specific Western sports exercises specifically, you know, for bull riding. Your core has to be insane. Your balance has to be insane. And you got to be a little crazy because you're putting your life on the line every time you get on a bull. And the caveat to that is, you know, they're 135 pounds, 140 pounds. And that's what gets really the best rides, because the rider is this size, but the bull is 1,800 pounds. So that really is that dynamic of it. Is just insane to me. The cowboy is one of the true authentic athletes that I've ever been around, that true gladiator spirit. And it's not a lot of entitlement within this organization, because a lot of these guys get it out the mud. They drive from city to city, you know, on their own gas, you know, hotel to hotel. They're trying to enter all these rodeos or bull riding events. And it's something that really intrigued me so much that I kind of, you know, engulfed myself in agrarian culture, Western culture, the history of the sport. You know, in 1992, when they broke away and started a union and started the PBR because they felt like they weren't treated right. And then where we're at right now in the world we're in, we've started Cowboys United. We have the Bill Pickett Rodeo. We've done a ton of promotion in Black History Month for the history of cowboys and even black cowboys and how they've come, their history and where it started. So for me, it really is one of the coolest things, you know, someone has played in the NFL, but it's one of the coolest things I've ever been a part of. It's an amazing organization. You know, I get to travel, I get to train, you know, I get to interact with, you know, again, some of the most authentic people. But the one thing is these guys are fearless. You want to talk about Nick coming downhill, you know, against a big running back. But imagine being 140 pounds trying to strap your legs, you know, to a 2,000 pound animal. It's a crazy, crazy, insane sport. And I'm just honestly just humbled and appreciative to be able to be a part of it.
Yeah, someone who grew up on the rodeo trail, Antoine, I can tell you it's literally win or go home. It's win or you're going to have to turn around and go back to the ranch and start swapping hay. So I right there with you. Appreciate your time, man. Love your insight. I know we could chop it up about rodeo, football, whatever. It's Antoine Burton. Antoine, thanks for joining Nick and Cecil tonight, man.
All love, man. All love. Thanks for having me.
There we have him. Antoine Burton on that Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. It's Nick and Cecil, and why he gave us a clue as to where the Broncos should go in the draft. We'll tell you next.